It'd be nice just to have a whole time period like this. Well, guys, it's obviously an honor and pleasure for me to be here with you. I consider that a privilege. I'm one of us. You know, they call me a lot of names, doctor this, doctor that. Maybe some names I don't want to hear, I'm sure, at times. But in truth, I'm just one of the guys. I'm just one of us. And I certainly see that as that way. There was a time that I needed to be admired, appreciated, even as a Christian, even as a pastor. And, you know, the Lord has a beautiful way of not being irritated with those things, but helping us by His grace. That humility is something that we can only get from Him, and that I don't really have to strive for somebody's accolade. And it makes it simple, though, if we love everyone we see, and we serve everyone we're around, and we make sure that that person is the most important, it really starts to make me and us just disappear. And Jesus so practices that in His own life. Now, I want to take us to a story tonight. I love this story, and it's funny because this is the first year that I've ever even talked about it. I know the story well, and I love the story. Just never, it was not really applicable in places that I've been or in situations, but it certainly is now. It's going to be about two men. I'm going to go to the story, and if you don't mind, which I love doing, is I want to just us to live it out with them. I love this Bible because even though it's just pages, it's stories of lives. It's living for me. There's emotion in it. And at this moment, I want us to live out the emotion of these two men and what's going on in their lives and how they're feeling. And I just, if you don't mind, again, I just want us to walk it out and live it out together and experience it together, because I believe really that it's going to really encourage us all tonight. But I want to start with these verses first, and Stephen's going to help me, which I so appreciate. 1 John chapter 3. We ended with this verse, interestingly enough, last night. I love it. It's probably the oldest books in our Bible, is the Epistle of John, most likely written after the Revelation. So it's obvious he is saying things to us that, at least from my perspective or for me, are important, as this probably 90-year-old guy is writing things that are so, so necessary for them and for us. Three verses right here. Then we're going to go to this story. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Is that word. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear. You're going to see this word. I love it. It is not yet manifested or made visible. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall, not if, when He shall appear, make Himself visible, make what we don't know known, see Him as we've never seen Him before. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. That, of course, being like Him is by conduct, character, by lifestyle. Verse 3 is beautiful. Every man that hath this hope, just a hope of it, of seeing Him, purifies himself even as He is pure. Luke chapter 24 is our story. I'm going to read it, and then you follow along, and I'll pray, and then we'll just begin. Verse 13. Thanks again, Steve, my friend. And both two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about seven and a half miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, they couldn't see, that they should know Him. And He said to them, yo, what up? And why are you sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said, dude, man, where have you been? Don't you have an iPhone? Aren't you even watching the news? I mean, don't you get what's going on? I mean, how does CNN, CNBC, are thou the only stranger in Jerusalem that hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what thing? And they said unto him, see, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and rulers delivered them to be condemned to deliver him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Please watch this next verse. But we trusted. I mean, we bet on this. It was our hope. We trusted that it had been he which should redeem Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Oh yeah, and certain women, you know how they are, of our company made us astonished. I mean, they said weird stuff of which we're at the sepulcher early, and they didn't find they when they didn't find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them, it was Peter and John, they went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but they didn't see him. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Guys, it's not a rebuke. He's going, guys, where are your hearts? Where's your heart? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I want to finish that verse 25. To believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures that things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went. And he made as though he would go on further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, man. It's evening. The day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, while he listened to this beautiful, opened to us the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that are with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And he hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Let's pray. Great. Father, I thank you for, Lord, you know the honor, privilege for me to be with my brothers here. In this day, this time, this hour, this moment, I'm honored to be Pastor Sean's friend. And the honor he gives me every time I'm here to be humbly graced to be with these guys. So tonight I'm asking that the revelation of Jesus Christ be ours. In this very moment of time that we would see you in ways we've never seen you, that you would to us appear. That what was not known is known, and where our eyes maybe are dim, that you might open them up, that we might behold. I believe it. It was never going to be if you would appear, it would be when. So, Father, I'm asking that something transform in us, all of us, especially me, that we see from another perspective, that we re-embrace you, to re-embrace the Word of God, re-embrace what has been spoken. Father, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. It's what we already celebrated. It's traditionally Sunday. It's mid-afternoon. I love these two men. They're of these disciples. They're not of the 11. They have joined them. Cleopas, we know, is one of them. The other one, we don't know. They have just left this hiding place where the disciples are. The 11 are there. They're mourning and weeping. Their hopes have been dashed. Their dreams have been dashed. We know what they were believing because Cleopas will say it. That he would be the one who redeemed Israel. But that Friday, that final day when they came for him in the garden and they began to bleed him, the day he died, their dreams died with him. Their hopes died with him. Their passion died with him. Their expectations died with him. They trusted for sure he was the one to redeem Israel. Here they are leaving. They're on their way to Emmaus, it's warm baths is what it's called. 7 miles. I just want to, if you don't mind, join their conversation. They're talking, but they're reasoning about the things that have taken place. I can imagine it went like this. Cleopas, yeah. And I still don't believe it. All the things that the apostles told us, I know. I remember John telling me about the earliest days. Even he didn't know about this. But you know, Mary brought him as a baby to the temple. 33 days old, that's the law of Moses. Yeah, I know. He said, he told me that a man named Simeon walked in the midst of that chaotic, arguing, yelling, money-changing environment of Herod's temple. And he took up the baby Jesus, and he declared, "My eyes have seen thy salvation. Behold the glory of Israel and the hope of the Gentiles." I remember that story. Yeah. I mean, Simeon, he saw that in an infant, in a baby. Yeah, I know. But then, did you know the story about the marriage feast at Cana? Oh, man, that was something. Yeah, but before that, did you hear about the Jordan? No. Oh, yeah. No one was there. John told that Jesus was being baptized by John. And literally the heavens opened up and a voice came down and said, "This is my beloved son who I am well pleased." From heaven? See, he was the Son of God. I mean, how could these things have taken place? I know. I know. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, the marriage feast at Cana. Yeah. The reason he did that was because he was going to manifest his glory so his disciples would believe him. That's why he changed water to wine. I was wondering, is that? Yeah. They told me that. You know, and then the miracles, I mean, they're countless. I mean, I saw some, well, yeah, my father was there when he multiplied the bread the first time. I mean, how could this be? I mean, all the miracles, all the things that we have seen, I mean, what? Now, didn't Peter tell you something? Yeah, I know, but I wasn't supposed to say anything. Well, tell me what he said. Well, they were on the mountain called Transfiguration. I thought that was a myth. Oh, no, it happened. Yeah, Jesus was transfigured. Peter saw Moses and Elijah with him, but what it was a voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." Again? Twice we heard that? Yes. How could the Son of God, I mean, how is it possible? I mean, how is it, can it really be? Oh, yeah, then Peter said this. He said, "Listen, Jesus asked us, who do men say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Son of the God, the living God, thou art the Christ." Peter said that? Yeah. What did Jesus say? He said, "You're exactly right. Nobody, no man could know this. You have known this by my Father." See, I don't get how this. I don't understand. I mean, this. I had such hope that he was the one. I just knew it. I knew that this was going to be. This is the time. This is our time, Cleavis. I just knew it. I know. I don't know what to say. I mean, I just. You know, there's just story after story. I love this because I have a sense of this despair after what we've lived. Hopes and dreams and anticipations. I knew 2020 was going to be world-changing. I couldn't wait to see the church become something I dreamed her to be. I love that Jesus, he cares about these men. He comes walking up and, you know, I don't know, all the pictures have been a big hoodie. He might even have a mask on or probably a little cross right here. I don't know. You know, like he's hiding from them. No, I don't believe that at all. You see, I want to say this to us guys. They could no longer see him by the natural eye or know him by the natural eye. He was now a different life form. He had to be revealed, revelated, manifested. He had to appear to them. And I love his words. "Guys, what's going on?" And they stop, and I can imagine. "What? What are you doing? What are you talking about? And why are you so sad?" sorry we sat. Are you, I mean, are you straight? I mean, dude, where have you been? Have you heard about the things? Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, mighty in word and deed. You haven't heard anything about him? I don't know what you're talking about. He said they crucified him. I mean, he's dead. And here it is, the third day. He said something about rising from the dead, but we haven't seen him. And so it's over. Everything we hope for is done. It's finished. Everything. We're just on our way to Emmaus. I don't know how long it was. But I don't know if they walked a mile or two. And nobody says immediately. He says, guys, it's hard to believe what has been written about it. And he begins, if you don't mind, expounding the scriptures about himself from Moses. Just let me. I'm sure he stopped at Moses. First thing he said to them in their sadness, in their despair, in their hopelessness, in their fears. That's why they were leaving Jerusalem. They were afraid. I mean, everybody was hiding. Plus the 11 were still mourning and crying. It was impossible to believe that anything good could come out of this. He started, I'm sure, with Moses. And he must have said to them, don't you know what Moses said? They probably just looked up and listened. He said, as I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. I'm sure he moved along, and I would only know him to do it in a chronological way by the order. I'm sure he stopped at the book of Amos and said, there's nothing he will do in the earth without letting the secret be known to his prophets. They have spoken of the secrets. And I'm sure he went to the book of Jonah next, and he began to say to them, don't you, listen, it was Jonah, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so would the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. Don't you remember what the prophet said? And he had them over to Micah for sure from this point and say, don't you remember the prophet Micah said that out of that small little town in Bethlehem, a town that nobody even cared of, a virgin would be born. That was that prophet. And he had to be in Isaiah, I'm sure. And so don't you remember that he would be a tender root because he was born in a dry ground. It was explaining this whole moment of Rome's occupation. The ground was like a desert. It was lifeless, hopeless. And he was tender and he was planted there. And the government would be upon his shoulders. And that increase of his government, there would be no end. And they would take him and they would mar him. They would beat him that we might have our transgressions lifted from us. They would slap him and pull out his beard, that we chastise him, that we would have a peace that would be unprecedented in the world, a peace the world had never known. And then they would beat his back and they would slay him and they would tear him up, that by those stripes he'd be healed. And that marring would please his father. I'm sure he stopped at the prophet Isaiah to talk about it. He would have to, for my sake, stop at the book of Ezekiel just to kind of remind them, don't you know the priest will return to his temple no matter what it looks like, and the prince will establish his worship, and out of that temple will flow a river, and that river will be like no other river. It'll bring life to the deadest things. It'll bring trees, and the trees will have leaves, and the leaves will be the healing of the nations. Don't you remember such a temple? And I'm sure he had to stop at these prophetic books of restoration, the prophet Zechariah, that there would be a priesthood in the earth. And in that priesthood, a cornerstone would be set. And there would be 7 eyes upon that cornerstone. And he'd reestablish his house according to a perfect vision. That this one, this priest, would be the cornerstone of the building. And he would have perfect vision. And no more would it be might or power. But it all would be by my spirit, saith the Lord. He definitely would have to stop there and say that. And those that have pierced him would see him. Beautiful words out of that. And he would have to stop at the prophet Haggai for sure and say that the whole everything will be shaken, the heavens and the earth, the dry land and the seas. And he would establish his temple and he would rebuild it. And the silver and gold, by the way, belongs to him. And he would stop at the prophet Malachi and just to remind them that there would be his messenger would come. And he would reestablish the earth, and the spirit of Elijah would go before him, and you would see fathers and sons come together in a way they never had. I love this about him. He was going to go by and leave them. He's so like that. And they said, no, don't go. Just remember their words. They said, no, don't go. It's late. It's dangerous. Night is far spent. You need to stay here. So he did. He sat. And they had bread, and I'll mention this at the end. He took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, and their eyes were immediately open, and he disappeared out of their sight. I see a transformation here, guys, that I can't believe that anything had changed in this moment. These were the same men. I don't know what. How long did he walk with them? 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles, 5 miles? I'm not sure how long it was. We don't really know. But how long did it take him to expound the scriptures? I don't know how he did. I mean, I wish I could hear. I wish I could actually know what he said. I'm just surmising that he walked through it like that. I mean, it's beautiful. There's so much in there. But all of a sudden, these men who just moments ago were hopeless, dreamless, visionless. Their anticipation was what they thought he was going to do, and he didn't do it. All of a sudden, they look at each other and they go, "Whoa, did your hearts burn within you?" Oh man, it did. I love it. Luke's writing it. He says, that same hour, they got up and they went back to Jerusalem. I would say, whoa, wait a minute. I thought it was dangerous. I thought it was late. I thought you shouldn't go. I thought you were afraid. I thought you didn't believe. I thought you were hoping for something else that he didn't do. But they got up. His appearing changed everything about them. The fear gone. The preconceived idea of what he would do. Even when they get back to where the disciples are, the other disciples are, and the 11, they didn't say, "Hey, he's here and he's going to restore us." He goes, "No, we have seen the Lord." Changed everything. Changed everything. I needed this story. But the proverb says that hope deferred causes the heart to be sick. I didn't lose the vision or the dream, but I was heart sick. I anticipated him doing something that he didn't do. I was sure he was going to do it. I believed it. I had hope for it. I have 40 years of a travailing prayer and heart that this is what we need. And I thought for sure this is it. It wasn't. But it didn't change anything. My need before 2020 was his appearing. My need in 2020 was his appearing. And my need in 2021 is his appearing. It doesn't change anything of his ultimate intention. We know what happens 50 days from here, don't we? The world was revolutionary. They just didn't know how he would do it. So at this story, I want to encourage us tonight. I love it. That was pretty quick, don't you think? What can we anticipate? I want to mention a few things. I even wrote a couple of things down. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't give you 14 things. These are things that were said to them in this day. It's this resurrection day. And I want to say them to us. First thing that was said 3 times to the ladies, to Mary Magdalene, to the ladies, and to them was this: do not be afraid. Can I say that to us? Because everything, as I said yesterday, that the spirit of the age, the Antichrist spirit, the rage out there is because they fear that God is above them. Our whole Bible, the restoration books especially, are a continual volume, a continual voice of, as soon as someone believes God for restoration or he intends to restore something back to his ultimate intention, the enemy rises up. Sanballat, Tobiah, Samaritans, you name them. Those are the Philistines. By the way, the Philistines are afraid of one thing. They weren't afraid of David. They weren't afraid of the armies. They were afraid of the ark. The glory of God, which has the throne of God and has God, that they fear. Two. Okay. I love this. This is what the angel said to the ladies. Remember what he has said to you. Remember. Remember what he said to you. I want to say it this way to us. Whether prophetically, whether preached, whether by counsel, whether by intimate friendships, you're just talking, what the Lord has spoken to you and I over the years, remember. Can I say it this way? You see, they dismembered him. But he's come to cause us to remember. Remember what he said. I've done it. I've gone back. I always do. I've gone back to the earliest prophetic words. I've gone back to the promises. I've gone back to the things that he spoke to me, especially over this last year into this year. Just going back to remember. What it does, though, is it encourages me. I said, that's right, that those are true. I'm holding on to them. All right with that? Yeah. Remember what he said. All right? Three? I have just five. I added one. Okay, I love this one. So everybody's nervous, and so the angel says, listen. You know, when you go, just know this, he's already there. So I'll be honest with you, I've never really known really how we're going to get there, and I don't really know where we're going to go. It doesn't bother me. What I do know, though, is where we're going, he's already there. For them, it was going to be Galilee, because they didn't want to leave Jerusalem. We can't go to Galilee. He's there already. I love that. You know, those angels, if we did a play, they were just like this. Yeah, don't be afraid. Jeez. We got to get up there now. I'm looking for some angel food cake. Yeah. Are we making it tonight? Yeah, good. Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, yeah, right. Yeah, don't be afraid. And by the way, don't worry about the road. Don't worry about the way. Don't worry about what you face. He's already there. Four. Okay, I love this one. These two I live for, especially for men, ladies who open the word. Okay, here it was, though. He opened the scriptures about himself. I want to say this to us. Please hear this, especially. I love this the most about this story I always had, though. Anticipate the scriptures being opened to us in ways we've never seen, revealing him. You know, the Hebrew writer says it this way. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. The quote from the Psalms. All through this thing, he's in it. There's parts of this book that are still yet a mystery. He's wanting to unveil it. Those men were altered by that. Isn't it funny? They weren't altered by what he said. They were altered by seeing him. Seeing him made what they said, what he said, a whole different way. So I'm living for this, as much as I love this Bible and as much as we might think we see it, we haven't seen anything yet. This is not just for people who speak it. This is for every one of us guys. This thing will open up to us in ways we've never thought possible. To see him and to know him in there. It was supposed to be like that. It was written that I could watch him, see him, walk him out, become him by the writtenness of this and by the, which is our last one, number five, his appearing. It isn't if he will appear, it is when. I'll just quote it for us. My little children doth not yet appear. It's not really clear what we're becoming. So people have always asked me, so Jay, who are you? What are you becoming? And I still say to them, oh, I'm becoming him. I mean, that's, no. Yeah, I mean, you know, ministry. Are you this? Are you a prophet? Well, I really don't know that. I really don't know now. People call me these things, but I'm transforming into his image. I mean, as it's happening. So I don't really know what I'm going to become. I have a model, though. I have a pattern, and I want that pattern to be in my life, our lives. I want the church to be patterned after it, but I don't really know yet how it's going to look because it's changing. But I know this, though, that I'll be like him. That's for sure. That I didn't appear what we shall be. But we know this. When he shall appear, make himself known. You see the change in these men? That's what happens. That's what happens. We shall be like him. So I appreciate my new friend's questions to me. And I admit it, I got lust issues. I have a family. My family. If you offend my family, we spent almost 2 years away from my grandmother because of one single offensive moment in our family. I didn't see her for 2 years. I said, she just wanted the air conditioner off. Well, your mother over air conditioning. But I realized though, I thought it was them. No, it was me too. That easily offended. Cut someone out of my life that quickly. My issues with lust. I was so trying so hard to not be Jay. And then I saw this verse. Listen, anybody has this hope. What hope? For his appearing. Purifies himself. I thought I should concentrate on not sinning, shutting my mouth, biting my tongue. I shouldn't look at certain things, but you know, I'm trying to be holy. I don't know. Christian, I'm trying to be good even. Oh, I see now. If I just spend the day hoping, I'm being purified. Not like Daniel or Job or Joseph, like him. Just hoping. That hope actually does something. I don't think about any of those things anymore. I don't even consider them. Oh, if I fail, I'm thankful I got the blood, and I fail. Forgive me, Lord. It's done. It's not like me with my kids. Well, you know, 20 years ago you did that, and this is the fifth time, Jay. No, it's gone. One last thing again. That's the last of that. The radical change in these men is what it just seized me. And so I watched as fear gripped us. I watched as the church throughout the 2020, we just prayed and fearful. And I told them, we talked, that I get phone call after phone call. This prophet, that prophet, this person, from this state, another state, this state, that calls. Man, what's going on, Jay? What's happened? Please talk to me. Could you, for all young people the same way. And I would say to them, this story became, I said, we've got to have his appearing. The fear gone, the doubt gone, even the disappointment about how it is. What we hope would be us as they. This is appearing.
I'll just say one thing about breaking of bread. Just wanted to say this. We know that he broke bread, gave, blessed it, broke it, and gave, and it multiplied to 5,000 people, 4,000 people. So there is in the breaking of bread with him, a multiplication. But then he also broke bread the last night of his life. We call that bread and cup or communion. It is to remember his death. That's a part of it. This is different. This is intimacy. That's what breaking of bread is for this day. It was fellowship. It was face to face. It was intimate. It was two or three close. So I realized, and the question came from back there, which Matt, I so appreciated. I realized though that I don't break bread with him, but there, not only do I want his appearing, but I realize if I take some time and I say, come, I want to sit with you. This is our place. So I'm at the Hawkins, so in my room I have a place. And if I'm at a motel, I check into my motel. I have a place. Maybe it'll be over here. I sit. I put a little pillow. This is our place. We're gonna break bread. And what happens is, I see. He is known now. I did it. Because I needed it. I needed it. I need him. And I do it still because I need him more. You know this, the psalmist is true. Taste and see. Now the only problem is once you taste and see, you want to see more, so you taste more. The more I taste, the more I see. The more I see, the more I want to taste. It's for us. Father, thank you for this time and again, you know, so appreciate this moment. I thank you for these men, this story, for Luke's writing it. It so encouraged me. I believe I'm not the only one in this room that needed the encouragement or needs the encouragement about what we have just walked through. The church as a whole needs to remember this story. You changed these men's lives. Thank you for being so caring, so personal, so incredible. I know this now, though. Even though it doesn't go the way I thought, I can keep my hope upon and in you. So, Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, how about just a hand clap for me, guys, all right? Not for me, but for the, you know, for the word, yeah. My brother over here, you know, I know he introduced you in your part here, but there is just this incredible, you know, I love our Bible in many ways, but there's metals in this Bible, there's cloth, there's so many things that are revelatory, especially through Moses' tabernacle, Solomon's temple, Ezekiel's temple, especially Moses' tabernacle, that reveal the character and nature of God. And I've always been a man of the gold. I like that the most, even though silver is a part of our lives and all that. But you are absolutely brought to this church as a golden vessel, a chalice that men could drink out of, women could drink out of, young people could drink out of your life, tasting it. And you know, and you understand, I'm going to say this the right way, the wine's intoxicating. That's why they thought on that Pentecost day that you guys are drunk. And they said, oh, dude, man, your worldly wine is nothing to the wine we're drinking. We're drinking from something that's not. So I don't think they were going like this. I just think they were changed. They were altered. And I loved it. I live intoxicated. So I'm in a wedding feast, I'm intoxicated. But please know this, my brother. It is the sole reason the Lord brought you here, because he spent your entire life molding that chalice. It could have been out of pottery, it could have been out of silver, it could have been out of many things, but you wouldn't stop the process of God in your life. You wouldn't stop the process of his work in your life. You saw all men equally. I so love that about you. You're colorblind, which is amazing in the world we're living in. You don't see men's heights. You don't look at me or someone else and see. You don't look at me or one of these young guys and see anything different. You're honoring of all men. And the trustworthiness is incredible. And you know, the Lord's always looking for a trustworthy man. Faithful men, yes, but trustworthy is a whole nother dimension of it, very much Nathaniel-like. No guile at all. And so you're going to see the Lord begin to establish it and strengthen you. And you are born to teach the scripture, even though you don't do this much, though. Man, you were, you know, I just sitting, if I just sat and listened to you talk, my life would be reordered. You just have this way of talking. It's orderly. It's everything you do. You just create it. Just by who you are. Walk in this room. It's just the way the Lord has blessed you. And so you're going to see the Lord really begin to move in your family personally. You're going to see the Lord strengthen you. And the Lord's extending your life out. It wasn't going to be short. But there's going to be an added word into what you do. And that even if you're just with your group of guys, but you're going to find a necessity to start sharing a little bit more of the word. And you'll never break rank. That's why I could say all these things in the front end of this. You would never break rank. But there's going to be, and you'd be humble. You'd sit in the back seat. You're not going to sit over here. And if Pastor Sean or somebody wanted something, even then you would be down a little bit, like, you know, not that you can't. You just don't choose other men. But this is really the Lord, the timing of the Lord to really to begin to bring you up and cause you to be a man amongst men. Again, very much a Nathaniel kind of a person. And, you know, Nathaniel will see some things that Jesus said the other disciples didn't. I'm sure that Philip and Andrew were a little jealous because of him, but it was his integrity and his character that were just incredible. And so the Lord really is taking his time with those things. Yeah. My brother, listen. So many guys I don't know here, which is fine. That's a great beard, by the way. Apparently, I'm in puberty because I can't grow one. No, that's just, I can only say that amongst the guys. But that probably shouldn't be on the recording. Sorry about that, whoever's listening to that. Maybe Stephen can edit that out. I don't know. Love to see. But my friend, listen, the Lord is really establishing you amongst this people, you and your family. He really is. You've always been a guy who, it's not skeptical, but you really weighed everything out. You're just built that way. You weigh things out. You never take it just because it's said. Very much like who are the group that, not the Issachar ones, but the Berean, who was the Acts ones? Remember they were going to study the scriptures no matter what Peter said or Paul said or Peter said or what James said or what Andrew said. They're going to do that, and the Lord's really built that within you, so that there would always be an integrity toward the scriptures, an integrity toward life, integrity toward business. But it's really brought you here to bless your family first of all, incredibly, to reorder your family just a little bit. You come from a strict male, kind of a male, strong male family, and that's good, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the Lord is just enlarging you so that there is a larger dimension of expression than just male. I'm all male for sure, but I know there's got to be tenderheartedness. Jesus has a way of talking. The kids are drawn to him. Sinners are drawn to him. Deaf are drawn to him. Lepers are drawn to him. He has this way that everybody's comfortable with him. I want that. I used to be a time in my life that I was only comfortable with certain people, only certain people were comfortable with me. That the Lord has to enlarge that, and he's doing that in your life. You, without you realizing, has been brought here to be part of the building team as the future comes to this church. You and your family will build. There will be an investment of your life into the young men that are in this church. This is in the future. I'm 5-6 years out, not that far ahead. To begin investing in the youth, definitely, but especially when the men gather, men do things together, a small group, men's, you've got to be there, because he's training you and raising you up to be a builder of men, very much Nehemiah in a day of restoration, to help the families set in order, help the families to fit into the walls and be where to be. And you're like Nehemiah in many ways, because you're fearless. He's not moved by the enemy. He doesn't get threatened, neither do you. You're just not threatened by the society, by the language out there. You're not moved by all those things. And the Lord's always built that courage within you. And that's part of what he's doing. But this is really the planting of the Lord for your family. And in this place, not only the blessing of God, not only the word of God, the spirit of God, but also the financials and that blessing, the Lord is going to continue to increase in your life. Don't be afraid to extend out over the next years. Don't be afraid to enlarge. Don't be afraid, because you're super smart, dude. So you can work with your hands and your mind. So you can do several things. And so allow the Lord to, if he wants to enlarge own business, those kind of things. He really is. He's lifting the ceiling off. I was just raised this way. If I don't earn it, I can't get it. And so that's a limitation, because I can only do so many things, so many hours in a day. So I just kind of think, because there was always a ceiling there. There were some things that Jay LaRue can never do and never have. And I just accepted that. But in this kingdom, though, just the ceiling's gone. There's no ceiling. And so I could believe God for beyond belief. And that's exactly what he's beginning to build within you. Yeah. So I was figuring 8:10-ish. That was too long, you think? It's 5 after now. You all right? A little bit more? Huh? Yeah, everybody's good? Everybody's okay? Yeah, so far? Okay, good. So my young friend, listen, love this with bringing in this young guy. I really do. And I'm not really sure what you're thinking your future is. I love what you're doing. I know you're the electrician. You're out there. I love the work and everything. But my friend, listen, the Lord has a real plan for you. And this is just a part of it, though. Your incredible friendship. You're great with everybody. You really are. Your immediate thing is, I'm going to make friends. That's it. I don't. A lot of men draw lines. Well, if he behaves a certain way or a certain way, then that's out. And we'll be friends as long as you don't do that. You're so accepting of people. Very rare, and that's how the Lord's graced you. But the Lord's going to begin to draw you in, even with you being here tonight, and to begin working with the young people again, working with youth, being a part of the youth ministry here, being a part of encouraging. You're built to be an encourager. I love that. It's really your gift. The 12th chapter of Romans gives these gifts, and yours is really encouragement, building. It's just how you are. You get up happy, which that's a rare thing for a guy, I don't know what we do. We get up, we got an attitude when we get up. I don't know what the story is with us. We just do. I don't know. It's not going to be a good day. My back hurts. I got a toothache. My butt hurts. I don't know what it's going to be. Most of the time, you get up happy. I love it. And you don't even drink coffee. That's amazing. You know, how's that happen? I got to have at least one Starbucks and I'm happier. Yeah. Yeah. You probably do Coke. But anyways, know this, though, that the Lord really, it's the beginning marking. It's the beginning of the heart of David that the Lord is beginning to build. Doesn't mean you have to shepherd. It's even in your eyes. When I looked into your eyes that first day that when you came to say hi to me on Sunday, it's in your eyes. I can see in your heart. That's the beginning of what the Lord's building within you. It doesn't mean you have to shepherd like David. You certainly won't be a king. There's only one king. But it's that heart of that young man. And David served his generation. That's the New Testament's declaration of all that he did. It was something about him that he wanted to be sure that his generation and his passion was for the ark. His passion was for the presence of God. His passion was for God. Even with his mistakes and errors, those are the real markings of his life. And you're going to see the Lord begin to draw you. He has this amazing way of wooing tenderly. He never chains a man and draws him. Never is that way. It's always with tender, loving care, tenderness, graciousness. That's what it does. Even me now, my age, it's always this wooing love. It's just more than I could ever believe possible still at this point. And so he's going to begin doing this with you. So there's going to be a ministry that God will have you stay in the world, work in the world's fine, but then there's a place that he's going to build amongst this people here that you'll be a part of, the building of the coming generations, and you'll see young people pass through your life, younger than you, some your age now, but younger than you, and you'll watch and you'll see, and God will give you a sense of who they are. And there'll be a day even really, you know, I love saying this, but I'm careful with it. There's a day, it won't be quite like I'm doing now, but there'll be a day that you'll have a sense of what God is doing in the lives of people, and you'll be able to share with them. You know what? I feel like the Lord is saying this. I feel like the Lord is saying this. I think what you're thinking is a good idea. I think that's the Lord. And you're going to have this sense of confidence within you, because it takes, we prophesy according to our faith, according to the relationship, what we know is right and true and believe. It's all part of that. But there is, he wants to build it. Now, you're in your 30s by this time. So there's a ways to go, yeah, for this. But for you to know, though, that this isn't just because, well, you know, I was raised in church and, you know, and this is what I know I'm supposed to do. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. Much more. You know this young guy? Okay. Yeah. Is he growing up here? All right, cool. Cool. So my buddy here, you know, just to encourage you a little bit, okay? Yeah, you're good. You're fine. Yeah. You know, Brett's talked to me a little bit about you, and so I know your parts of your life. But even without that, that day that we met each other in the driveway, it was really beautiful, because I was watched the man get out of the car that had been through a rugged road, and some of it, you know, he made himself. I don't know why we do that. I did it. You know, some of the things I just created, I chose things. And then in those cases, I thought, well, you know, I believe the Lord could do things and the Lord redeems. But I did that and I did that and I deserved that. And that was my fault. And I just thought, well, you know, those are just things I'm going to have to live with. And, you know, there's no repairing those. And I'm just going to have to pick up where I am now and just kind of begin walking, even though I walked with, you know, I got a limp, and I still got a history, and I still remember things, and I still have regrets and sorrows. But I've come to know that that is not what he does. When he died, he purchased us. I didn't know it until I said yes to him. And then I had no idea the depth of it. So he purchased Jay LaRue, Sean Franco, back there in his death. I mean, but what he did, though, is he bought everything, paid for everything, paid for the things that people did to me, things that I did to people, things that I took, things that I stole, things that I gave up, things that I wasted. I mean, all the things that I deserved to have regrets and sorrow, bought it all and was intending and still is rebuilding it all. Who does such a thing? Who is it possible that anyone could love me or you that they would be willing to do this. My own father loves me, but he could never do this. He would say to me, well, you made that choice. That's how you have to live with it. That's how I was raised. But not with this father. This father goes back. You know, there's a beautiful story I would have loved to have done here, but this I need to do. This was the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son takes his father's wealth and he just says, I'm out of here, Dad. The dad lets him go, like a good father would. And while he's out there, there's a famine. He loses everything. He's eating with the pigs, a Jewish boy. That's really rough. So while he's out there, he's thinking, you know, I need to go home. But when he gets home, his shoes are tattered. They probably smell of every place he was. Maybe he had no shoes. Maybe they were worn out. Maybe he had to sell them. He was filthy. When he got there, he thought, I'm just going to tell my father, you know, I'm not worthy to even be your son. I just, like, this serve. I mean, the things I've done, and you know, I'm just done deserving. The father just goes, get the robe. Oh, the robe was for the most prominent person in the house. It was kept special, the special closet. This is for the if a president or a king or a prince came, not a dirty son. Oh yeah, no, not this father. Get the robe. Get the ring. Put him back to where he was always supposed to be. Oh, and I love it. He says, and get him some new shoes. So every place he had been, in a moment, the Lord, his father changed it all. So please know that it is just beginning. But if anyone in this room could have hope that God could restore the years that have been taken, whether taken, given, sold, dropped off, left, doesn't matter. That's the hope that he brings. He has begun this redemptive work in your life. It's already started. If anybody can have hope in this room, one more. My buddy, yeah, he's had a long day, but you're good. You're a beast. And if I knew you were going to be here, I would have worn long sleeve shirts. Well, I'm sorry, because he's here, I should be wearing a coat. And then you with long sleeves. Yeah, he's a beast. Yeah, and that's my brother with his little, your baby was amazing yesterday. Oh, my God. So I just want to just encourage just a little bit, okay? You were born to be a mentor of men, a trainer of men. You were born to be a man who invests. You've always been athletic. You've always been excelled in everything you do. You're just so multi-talented. You know, everything about you is that way. Smart too. Wise decisions. You're not moved by the crowd. Never have been. Born to lead. And if nobody followed you, didn't care. You were just going to go in the right directions. All these things were things that your grandmother on your mother's side especially prayed for you, believed for you, hoped for you. Her prayers are still with him. He's still holding on to them. But I just want you to know, it doesn't mean you have to change your direction or anything, but your education, your decisions, as you grow, as the Lord guides you, everywhere you go, and when you enter the business world, if it's military, police, anything that you decide, you choose what you want to do, everybody will know this man has come to us to move up the ranks, that we can entrust men into him. He will be a man, much like a potter would be, much like a vine dresser, a man who prunes, builds, grooms, raises men. You were born for it. How you'll do it was going to be your choice with his guidance, your family, and people around you. But you are born for this, my friend. The only one that are limited is you. You have master's degree, PhD levels. If you're in an organization, if it was like his or in government agencies, military, you were automatically, they'd want you. You've got to keep moving up in the ranks. You're born to be influential. Born for it. And so yeah, no matter where you go, you don't even have to draw the attention. It's coming to you. It comes to you. So the Lord is going to always, you're going to have a sense of discipline, not just physical discipline, but a spiritual discipline.
a discipline with attitude, a discipline with words, a discipline before people. It isn't a yoke or a chain, but it is the burden of the Lord. There is one. It's light. The yoke is easy, but there is a yoke. There is a burden. You're going to have a sense of it because the Lord wants to set his word. You won't so much do it like this, but you will set his word within your heart, within your spirit. It doesn't mean you have to be a Bible scholar, but you'll take the word of God and you'll share naturally with men, young men growing up, with integrity, what it is to be a man, a father, an uncle, a cousin, how to be a worker, how to be a servant, how to be good at a task, how to be integrous. Dude, I mean, you're like, it's like the Lord is going to, it's like he's building five teachers, five different men into one man. And so you'll be so multitasking in regards and in relation to building the lives of young men and young women. I mean, I would have my ideas of how you should do it. This would be my ideas of your education. I have those and what you could do so that you would be the best you can be. Great men will want you around because you'll make them greater. But you'll come like Daniel did in his day with something they've never seen before. So it is you're built. He's built you. He's given you the stature. He's given you the discipline. He's given you everything about you. You're born to be a man standing among men. You're born that way. But what he's building within you is something that most men don't have. And Daniel had an integrity and an understanding of God that most men in that day didn't. And so the world and kings loved having him around. They wanted him around. That's exactly what the Lord's doing. Don't let any people, anybody, don't like, well, I don't like college or I don't like this. Don't let anything you don't like interfere with what the Lord is doing. Adjust what needs to be adjusted to apprehend him. I didn't want to go to college. I don't like school. I don't even like to read. I still don't. But there was when I got born again and I began to understand, I just had to put away sometimes the things I don't want to do because these are necessary for me and what he wants to do. I didn't want to bring any limit. Won't you stand with me, guys, please? So appreciate the time tonight. Then Pastor Sean, obviously always, you know, so appreciate it. So Father, I just again is, you know, sometimes I don't always know how I'm heard or my hope always is that I could make it clear, simple as do. But if anything is grasped this tonight, even for me, is that I want to be a man who loves your appearing. That we would be men who look and long for it. You're going to come again. That's not the appearing. It is the appearing that Cleopas and his buddy had. It rocked their world, changed their world. Lord, your appearing has done it every time in my life. Lord, let it be our cry. We want to behold you. We want to see. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.